Van Christoot. And listening to your very careful analysis, Jillian, thank you so much for the for that summary of what's going on in this province. But listening to that, I wonder whether you, as a writer, would characterize the Alberta people as being different from other people in Canada, in the rest of the world, where we've been able to look at and swallow incredible inconsistencies particularly in this royalty thing and in other issues as well. But the royalty thing is so plain and so simple, and yet not a word. Everything goes along as usual. Is there something wrong with us?
Well, I've actually thought for a long time that Alberta does have a very peculiar political culture. I don't know about Albertans as people, but in terms of as a political culture, it's very odd. I mean, if you go to Saskatchewan on one side of us and British Columbia on the other side, it's just a different world. You know, people are, it seems to me they're more engaged in politics. They're more, they argue about it more. They throw out governments and elect a new one regularly. You know, in Saskatchewan, they go between the NDP and the Conservatives or the Saskatchewan Party or whatever, you know, goes back and forth. And there is a lot of, you know, some people argue, well, that kind of, you know, antipathy between political parties is not good because one gets in and they just undo everything that the other one did, and then the other one get back in, and they undo, it goes back and forth. But you know what? I think Alberta is just weird when it comes to politics. I really do. And it's not, and I don't think it's because, you know, we always, because we've had conservatives for 36 years. It's because we never change anybody. We put them in and we keep them in. And there's no dynamic in the population in terms of politics. There's nobody sort of willing to argue and discuss and stick their neck out. And it's more of this kind of, let's circle the wagons. You know, with circle the wagons, everybody inside, everybody has to agree. If you don't agree, then you're kind of, either you're weird or you're a traitor, and so you're pushed to the edge. It's just a very strange culture that way. And I have to say, you know, and living in Calgary, I see it all the time. And in Calgary, it's like politics doesn't even matter. In Calgary, business is such a big deal. The politics is kind of seen as just secondary, you know, like, oh, yeah, we have to do that. So who should we vote for? Oh, yeah, let's all vote conservative, right? You know, like it's just weird. And that's why I say, and I there's lots of historical reasons for it, I guess. I don't know. Some people would say, well, you know, when the social credit were in power and you had someone like, you had a premier, Ernest Manning, who was a premier and also went on the radio every Sunday as a preacher. And so the idea of God, you know, earthly power and heavenly power kind of got all meshed up together. And I think maybe a lot of people thought, oh, you know, I shouldn't really vote against this government because I might be voting against God, you know. You know, that's been a favorite kind of idea of mine, is that somewhere along the way it got all mixed up here. And it stayed on, you know. And it seems that Albertans also love the idea of the guy coming in on the white horse and saving everybody. You know, the strong leader type. The Peter Lougheed, the Ralph Klein. Don Getty didn't do so well because he wasn't like that. You know, the Ernest Manning. And now, and I think that's one of the reasons Kevin Taft gets a lot of criticism, because he's not like that. He's not that kind of guy. And so even though he's really smart, he's got a PhD, he's thought about these issues for years and years and years, he's stuck his neck out, he's criticized the government, he's kind of seen as kind of wimpy. And I'm thinking, where does that come from? Like, he's been opposing this government when it was really uncomfortable to do so. Is that your idea of a wimp? It's not my idea of a wimp. But that's what he was doing. Early on, he stuck his neck out to the point where Ralph Klein called him a communist. So we have an idea in this province of the way leaders should be, and that's the way we want them. I've known John Boris for a long time because he used to be a friend of my father's. Yeah. Right?
Good afternoon, Jelaine. It's nice to see you here, and we can do with your type of presentation, which, you know, gives us something that we can cling to. But I'd like to ask you, is there, and I get along with everything you said, but I think you need a little bit of that rotten inside. Okay. And it's the people that are in power that screw it up, that then they then contribute to their own downfall, probably more so than the people who are outside the castle trying to tear the walls down. Is that enough in Alberta? And what do you think about it? Thank you.
Well, I think that is becoming obvious now. I mean, it's hard to believe that particularly in the early 90s, when the Klein government was first elected, the kind of adulation that Ralph Klein used to get, he could do no wrong. No matter what he said, no matter what he did, people thought he was great. And what he stood for, they thought, was really important. I mean, a lot of people, you know, who really didn't have the means to do so got behind him on the debt reduction plan, right? They believed in what he was saying. But now it appears that what he was saying was not exactly true, and that there's big holes in what he was saying. And that's going to hurt. You know, I think it's going to hurt. It's not only going to hurt Ralph Klein's legacy, but it's going to hurt anybody who runs as in the name of the Conservatives, and particularly someone like Premier Stelmach, who sat beside Ralph Klein in cabinet for years and years and years. How do you now say, well, you know, I didn't know that he knew that, or I disagreed at the time, but I didn't want to say anything? Or it's, you know, that the Ralph Klein legacy is going to hurt the party, I think, for a long time.
My name is Bob Anderson. Jillian, just one very quick, short question. What's it going to take to wake up Albertans? What's going to have to happen? We've had a lot of stuff so far, but it doesn't work. What's going to happen?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think, you know, and it goes back to the earlier question about the political culture here. To be honest with you, I don't know. And maybe it is the royalty review. You know, maybe it is the idea that we could have, we didn't need to close all those hospitals. We didn't need to cut back on everything that we cut back on, because all we really had to do was just raise the royalties a little bit, and we would have been able to pay down the debt. I mean, sure, you know, governments always want to be efficient, and you always want to be looking at what you could do better, what you could do without, you know, what programs need to be revamped, all that kind of thing. But did you really need to close all those hospitals when all you had to do was hike the royalties just a little bit? And you would have had enough money to pay down the debt? You know, I mean, there's a lot. Did the schools really need to be having leaky roofs and not enough teachers and all those things when all we needed to do was raise the royalties a little bit? You know, and I think the way that the oil companies in the last few weeks have been openly and brazenly threatening Albertans gives you an idea of how arrogant they became and how sure they became that this government was going to do what they wanted. And not just for the oil companies, but also just in terms of the ideology. You know, who was pushing that ideology? And I think a lot of people and a lot of organizations, including some corporations, became very confident and very arrogant that this government was going to, the Klein government was going to do whatever they wanted. Whatever they wanted. And that's really, I think that's really become apparent in the last few weeks when you see Encana and Petro-Canada. And then, I don't know, I saw on TV the other day some investment firm. I'd never heard of them. But there they were all lined up having a press conference saying that, you know, it would be dire consequences in Alberta if the royalties went up. And you just, you know, I kept thinking about, oh, yeah, and there was a time when the tobacco company said that smoking didn't cause cancer, you know, like they just tell you these big, huge lies. And I think this government and their supporters got used to telling the huge, big lies, and people got used to kind of believing them. So I think it's going to take a lot of guts on the part of the electorate to say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore. We want it to be different. Yeah.
Jillian, J.C. Penney. I thank you for your presentation. I believe in Ed Stelmach. I didn't support him during the leadership race. I supported Jim Dinning, but it happened. And the one thing that I think that will bring Albertans and the PCs back to the fold is Ed's a humble man. He's genuine. I respect he and his wife, Marie. I think he's wise to take time on this royalty review to hear all Albertans, and I encourage everybody to send their notes into the Premier. I think that's what Albertans want. I think you're right, there has been some arrogance in the past, and clearly John has talked about in the past where power corrupts and, you know, and you get that arrogance. But I think Ed's a genuine man. I think he's a time for this. So I've had a tough time because on one hand it's kind of fun to get into a debate of blood sport politics, but I think that's also not what it's about. It's about allowing people to be the best they can be by having the right systems in place. So I just wanted to stick up for the guy. I think he's genuine, and I appreciate the discussion.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know what, I don't think there's any question that most people in Alberta perceive Ed Stelmach as genuine. I don't think they see him as a dishonest guy. But there's just, I think they would like him to be more forthright.
And one thing I see here that I think we got to take a lesson from Bill Clinton's campaign, right? Clearly show optimism. Alberta, I don't know, wherever, aside from a beach in Mexico, there's no other place I'd want to live, work, or play. You know, Alberta, we're doing very well. We've got a lot of challenges, yes, and be honest, let's address them. But Alberta's, it's dynamite, right? And I think the one thing that Al Gore made the mistake was that he tried to run away from Bill Clinton's success. No way. Stand up and embrace the fact that there were good times, and that's what Clinton did. Unfortunately, Al Gore didn't. So I think Ralph did a lot of good things.
Well, and I have to say, like, and I did say earlier, I think there are a lot of conservative voters that are sitting, they're kind of sitting back, and they're waiting, I think, for the party to redeem itself. What they, you know, maybe some people in this room can tell me what the party needs to do in their eyes to redeem itself. What do you think? Like, because there are a lot of conservatives that have disengaged, that are just kind of sitting back. So what do you think the party needs to do to convince those people that the party has redeemed itself?
I think clearly look at the success of where Alberta's at. Look at the success and the challenges facing us. And Ed's got five priorities, I think, his government with integrity, safe communities. Now I'm on the spot and I've totally drawn a blank. But I think show genuine leadership, actually listen to people and do it. I think there's some exciting initiatives coming about, but I think Albertans want to know that their tax dollars are being well spent and there's planning for the future. There's a sustainability fund. There's a heritage fund. I was at a forum in Lethbridge at the lodge where they had all the environmental, all this planning stuff going on, because then a lot of people are talking about Fort McMurray, that there's not a lot of planning. But I know I work in WestJet as a flight attendant, and we have tons of environmental legislation, and airline industry has got issues so of pollution and stuff. And I think Ed's program to have the carbon exchange trading here in Alberta, I think that's bonus because we should try to help our own. So those are just some of the things. And I think, again, be honest and genuine, because clearly if there is an easy solution, this is one thing that I fear, is that everybody's going to say the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. And then the opposition party will get in, they'll cut a few checks, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, whoo, Alberta's great again. And I kind of wish the camera wasn't on, but that's my...
Thank you, Jillian. My name is Doug Miller. The last few days I have been listening and reading about Fred Dunn. And he was appointed by the present provincial government. And yet I've been surprised how some of the cabinet ministers have really attacked him. And I think he's a credible man. They appointed him. Do you have any comments about Fred Dunn and his office as auditor, attorney?
I personally found it quite surprising how strongly he came out on this royalty review question, because on so many other issues, he's been very, very cautious. And, you know, there has been some suggestion that he actually is afraid, or he was afraid, of the Klein government and didn't want to offend anybody too much. So when he came out with his review of the royalty situation and made such strong statements, I don't know if any of you have actually read that report, but you can get it on the Auditor General's website. And I believe I read somewhere yesterday that almost 400,000 people have gone into that website to get that report. They want to read it for themselves. And I think the fact that he's been so cautious in the past but came out so strongly on this question either speaks to the fact that he, you know, it was just, he found the whole situation really outrageous, or maybe speaks to the fact that he might have been afraid of the Klein government, but he's not so nervous about the Stelmach government. I don't know.
My name's Alan Herbig, and I have a question to follow up on that. I'm also wondering, with the press and the media seem to be afraid of the Klein dynasty, because lots of people knew of situation in terms of the royalties were under, were being underpaid. We looked at the people were talking about Alaska and how their revenues are, and yet, other than a column by Rick Bell in the Sun, I haven't seen anybody that's not on, hasn't been, and always has been on the Klein bandwagon until Ed came along, and that seemed like there's some vulnerability here, and suddenly they're smelling some shifting sands, and suddenly all the press is now getting into the fray. I don't think we would have had this discussion here in the Klein era. And I just,
I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a lot of intimidation during the Klein era, and you could certainly feel after Ralph Klein left office, it was like the lid came off, you know, and people felt, they felt free to say what they thought. They felt free to criticize. They felt free to say things that they hadn't said before. And it's true. I mean, you know what? For like 10 years, the Parkland Institute's been saying we need to raise royalties. The Pembina Institute's been saying we need to raise royalties. Peter Lougheed's been saying we need to raise royalties. And yet they didn't get the kind of attention that this panel, that Ed Stelmach's panel has received. It's not like nobody ever said that before. It's just that those opinions were usually sidelined and not taken seriously. And now, because this panel was appointed by Premier Stelmach, now it's like we've never heard this before, and all of a sudden it's news. Well, it's not really. People have been saying it for quite a while. They just got shut up, you know. And you can see, like, the Auditor General says that the bureaucrats in the Energy Department actually wanted to raise the royalties. They were suggesting to their minister that the royalties should be raised, and he wouldn't hear of it. He said no, and he covered up the reports that they had actually made. Now, what does that tell you? You know. And then he said we didn't, you know, when he was still, it's Greg Melchin, he's a MLA from Calgary. When he was still the Minister of Energy, he insisted we didn't need a royalty review. One had been done already and showed that we didn't need to raise the royalties. I mean, that's, I don't know, that's not very, doesn't, the word truth-telling doesn't come to mind when you talk about that. And wasn't it Ralph Klein, I think, that said he didn't give a tinker's a damn about the royalties or a royalty review? Yeah.
My name's Cheryl Bradley, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on the politicization of the civil service. I know you just sort of mentioned it passingly in your last response. And how much inertia does that give to change in government?
Yeah, I think that's actually another hallmark of the Klein era, is that much of the civil service in Edmonton was politicized. And people were put in positions of influence and power, not because they had an expertise in a certain field, like transportation or energy, you know, or social services, but because they were political lapdogs. They came from within the party. And you're always going to have a certain amount of that in the civil service, but I think the Klein government really outdid itself. And so you had people, you have people in senior positions that don't really have, they don't have the kind of expertise to lead the ministers. What they have is political smarts. And it goes down deep. And I think, you know, there'll have to be a whole cleaning out. If we get a new government, there'll have to be a whole cleaning out of the civil servants.
Howard Forsyth, you've been talking mostly about the past. Suppose the royalty question is stuffed down the throats of the people who don't like the idea, and it goes over. Who's that going to help? Maybe can the Conservatives make it help them, or can the Liberals make it help them? What does it look like in the future?
I'm not sure. I think... I personally think that Ed Stelmach has missed the boat. He may still catch it, but I think he's missed the boat in not making a stand already, a strong stand on the royalty question. The oil companies and Canada and Petro-Canada and everybody are standing up and, you know, threatening and saying they're going to pull out and all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't really, he doesn't respond very much. He kind of lets them have the field. And I think he needed to make a very strong statement when the panel produced its findings.
Well, doesn't he have a fantastic choice for leadership?
In what way? Yeah, except now he's behind Albertans because they're saying they actually want, they agree with what the panel has saying. They need to raise royalties. So now he's behind. Doesn't look very good. I don't know. You can't, there's no mathematical formula for all of these things. There's so many unknowns in the future. But he's going to have a lot of questions to answer, particularly about why he didn't push for that or why he didn't know about it when he was in cabinet. And I think he has to, personally, I think he has to also call the Minister of Energy to account. And he hasn't done that yet, at least not publicly anyway.
I'm Trevor Page. Thanks very much for your presentation. I agree with your analysis of the situation. I think you said, though, that there's no all-party committees in the legislature. Now, I know that that has been the case in the past. Is that still the case? I would just ask for confirmation of that.
You're right, because I think Ed Stelmach wants to change that.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of leadership hopefuls, Dave Hancock and Lyle Oldberg, at this mic that you are speaking from, say that is going to be changed. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder whether it has been changed, because I really don't see how the democratic system is working at all unless Alberta opens that up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I believe that Stelmach has changed it, wants to change it. It's also part of his platform, so yeah.
Thanks.
But we went for a long time without all-party committees. Yeah.
Bev Mundell-Atherstone, thank you very much for your insightful analysis. My question has to do with Alberta looking like a model in which the government is a caretaker of sort of the day-to-day business, but actually the corporate sector is running the whole economy. And maybe this is trying to happen in Canada as well, when we look at Montebello. Would you like to comment on Alberta being a model of the corporatization of our country?
Well, I think it's another way, actually, that Alberta is really distinct from other provinces in Canada. There's always, or there's long been, a sense on the part of politicians that they actually go into public life to, I don't want to say help the private sector, but to enable the private sector in the province. I think in Alberta, they've always seen their role as one of enabling the private sector. And they, a lot of them, and I'm not saying this necessarily is a bad thing. It just, this is the way it works here. A lot of the politicians will come out of the private sector. They'll go into politics for a while, do what they can to help the private sector and then go back into the private sector. And it's kind of a tradition in this province. And, you know, let's face it, our private sector here, because of the oil and gas industry, is very different from the case in other provinces. But I think we have more of what I would call an American outlook on how the private sector and government work together or don't work together. And I would say in general, and this is a big generalization, that the American outlook is that government needs to get out of the way, right? Let me do what I can to earn a living, let my corporation earn money, the investors earn money, and government get out of the way because you're just going to complicate things and you're going to hold me back. Whereas the Canadian tradition is more, we need to work together here a bit. Government shouldn't necessarily get out of the way because it has to represent the interests of the people in general. I would say, certainly in the Lougheed era, he came out of the private sector. He was very comfortable with representatives of the private sector, but he also stood up to them. He increased royalties almost as soon as he came into office. He actually took that step, and the oil companies weren't very happy, but he did. I think he had a different, or Ralph Klein had a very different approach, which was, the private sector is always right, and the public sector is somehow secondary. And this is a very prevalent attitude in Calgary, very, very prevalent. The private sector in Calgary, for the most part, believes that nothing in the public sector can be as good as what the private sector does, and that includes education, healthcare, social service, courts, prisons. There's just it's a very different attitude. So I would say, in answer to your question, that in a sense, we've always been kind of like that in Alberta. And it, a lot of that kind of got exported. Ralph Klein exported a lot of those ideas to other provinces, other parts of Canada.
Jillian, thanks for taking the time driving down from Calgary to speak to us. JP, I want you to come by. And if I may, Jillian, I'd like to ask this question to JP.
Oh, for sure.
I've known JP for a long time.
It's JC.
It's both.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I've known him for a long time as an articulate spokesman of a particular point of view that we don't share. Now, JP, my friend, you've said this guy, Ed Stelmach, is a nice, sweet guy. He doesn't beat his wife, and he goes to church. He's a real nice feller. And he's surrounded by real nice other fellas. And they've run the best government they could be running. I tell you, there ought to be supporters, all kinds of people. You are important, what you said, because you speak for hundreds of thousands of Albertans who farm this land in the rural areas. They speak and think of it. Listen, my friend, have you not heard this analysis from an independent, impartial, respected writer, authority? Have you not been listening? This has been bad government. This has been horrible bad government. And so I want to know, have you been listening to this speaker?
What? No. Yes, clearly. And, you know, I worked in Calgary, but I moved back to Lethbridge, but I still have my job with WestJet. So I work for a modest wage. I've seen the struggles that everybody sees. But I just think that Ed's a genuine guy. I think the party's done well. I think the party is right to go in and take down the deficit and get Alberta debt-free. Clearly, your analysis, I think, is, you know, there's some areas I'd like to debate later, whatever. But I have heard, and I'm going to put heart and soul into trying making sure that some of the discussion that takes place in this room is heard in Edmonton and make sure that people, that the government does respond. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to us people, right? And we can't be lackeys to anybody, but just be honest. And the one thing I do find ironic, and I apologize, I'll be very brief. I've sat through some things back in the 90s where the politicians talk too much. There's too much hot air. Well, Ed seemed to be walking pretty softly. Hopefully he'll carry a big stick.
And I would just like to say, you know what? I wish there was more of this kind of all throughout Alberta where people get up and just talk about things openly and honestly without fear that, oh, they're not part of the mainstream or, you know, we need way more of that in this province. We really do. So I appreciate you getting up and talking.
Okay, we have one more question, but I just want a little commercial before we hear the final question, and that's to thank you. I know you drove down on your own hook, and that's a generous act. You're no longer employed. You're on the unemployment line somewhere, I guess. So I want to thank you and thank all of you for this great discussion, and remind you that next week, Thursday noon, is Bob Tarlick, and Thursday evening at the library is your last chance to have a going over things with the aldermanic candidates in provincial politics. And now we'll give Michael the final word here.
Michael Cormack, and the federal Liberal candidate for the area for the next election. I was just wondering, thank you very much for coming down and helping to enlighten us. It's great, and it is great to have such openness here. However, I have gone door-to-door on many, many campaigns helping people and in elections, and there was always a reluctance there, especially from, the lower workers, also people working for the government. I work for the government. I can't get involved. And I had people tell me that their boss expected them. This was long before Klein's era, too. I'm expected to take out a conservative membership. That was the expectation, way long before Klein, too. So sorry there, JC. I was wondering, you mentioned lobbying there, and I was wondering if you had any observations you might like to make regarding the Bill 1 regarding lobbying. I heard a couple of weeks ago that it goes so far or can be interpreted to prevent people even receiving social assistance from the government from speaking out. How do we get change if we're really screwed down and not allowed to speak our mind?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not familiar with the details of Bill 1. I'm not going to pretend that I am. Isn't that unusual for a journalist? No. but I do agree with you that there's been an awful sort of squeezing down of people in this province who have opinions that don't necessarily jive with the governments or with the party in power. And I think it's going to take a while before people get used to operating in a more open environment. But I think it has started. I certainly see it in Calgary. There's more criticism of the party itself, which is actually of the Conservative Party, which is good for the party. They need to hear what people have to say about it. But in general, I just hear, I don't know, more criticism about everything. And maybe we're just all a bunch of critics. But I just feel that since Ralph Klein left particularly, that the lid came off. Like there, people weren't, there was a combination, I think, of things happening. A lot of people felt very loyal to him. They felt a really deep loyalty and they didn't want to betray him by criticizing. And other people were simply afraid. There was a lot of fear. And that's gone now. The loyalty's gone and the fear has gone. So it's a whole new ballgame, which I think is a good thing.
Thanks to all of you and thanks to our guest, Gillian Stewart. And we'll see you next Thursday.